family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is the problem.
Is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, I like making people wait for the big intro. I'm Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. It is Uno de Doso, 2011. I don't know how to say 2011 in pigeon Spanish, but it's June 2nd, 2011. 2011. And I'm coming to you live right now. It is about 4 minutes after 5 p.m. Pacific time. We are on the left coast, of course, so that's why we're Pacific time, on the Pacific Rim. Behind enemy lines here in Central California, which if you listened yesterday, you learned that this was kind of part of a Confederate region. So it's not completely occupied territories. We are holding on there. Dos mil unts, somebody said. Border Guardian says that's how I'm supposed to say 2011, I guess. Unza, or maybe that's June. Yesterday was Uno Uno, and I should have said that on there because I was driving Lou nuts with it all day saying Uno Uno was a special holiday where kids had to be left at home when their parents went out to have expensive lunches at fancy steakhouses. So, Once. Once. There you go. So, Lou's still mad at me about that. Wow, I got a lot of email back on yesterday's little dissertation I did, both on the history of Central and Southern California during the Civil War. And, of course, on my newfound dead hero, Frederick
Russell
Burnham. I don't see if Lou remembered, but I kind of forgot the name totally, too. If you didn't hear it, you might want to go back and listen to it on the archives, thanks to Ole Mosh. She got him up last night. Real good history lesson that we gave you yesterday. Today, in the second hour, we will have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. We are working on doing a Bible question, Christian question and answer day, but today he wants to talk about the Declaration of Independence. We sat down last night as a study group, and we just read the Declaration of Independence line by line and realized that everything except possibly quartering of troops is going on today in a very drastic measure, even worse than was going on in 1776. And how much the Declaration of Independence actually applies today as it did then. And we just take out the word, you know, King George and put in federal government. You know, it's not a man, it's an entity. I mean, everybody thinks it's about Obongo, but it's really about everybody else. Behind the scenes, Obongo's just the point man right now. He's such the fool that he is. But, so we're going to talk about the Declaration of Independence and what it means today, that it's still a valid document. What are you doing over there, Lou? Are you getting in the chat? You're not in the chat room? Oh, Lou got kicked out of the chat room. That's funny. Hopefully we won't have all kinds of problems again today with the internet. We've been having intermittent problems. I've just got a couple short articles to talk about, and then I see Border Guardians in there. She wants to talk a little bit more about what's going on in Arizona. Boy, I mean, you know, there's just so much in Arizona that's wrong. I mean, everybody's talking about how good it is, but specifically Pima County murdering Marines and trying people for crimes they didn't commit and corruption and everything. So in a few minutes, probably a couple more minutes, we'll have her call in, and we'll have Border Guardian call in and give us a little bit of a update on what's going on in her life down there as she fights that battle. Let's see here. I came across something that was really interesting. This is from Bob Moriarty, May 30th, 2011, and he points out you know, everybody's talking about, and they're just out flat lying, saying that the economy's turning around, but there's not one leading indicator that says we're turning around, nothing. Industry orders are down. Unemployment is kind of stagnant, but they're not reporting the true numbers. Housing prices dropped. In fact, housing prices today, from the beginning of this depression that started, have dropped 33%. That hasn't happened since the Great Depression. Values are down 33%. Here locally, places that were selling for $1 million are going for under $500,000. Houses that are being listed for $200,000, people are taking like $110,000 for them because they're just trying to get out from under them. And Bob Moriarty has written this piece, and someone sent it to me, and I thank you for that. When I was young and in college, we used to ask ourselves rhetorical questions just so we could think about them. A favorite of mine was, what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? We are about to learn if that thesis is true or not. The irresistible force is the $600 trillion in derivative markets that the papers come and do. The immovable object is the $60 trillion of the world economy. Basically, a $60 trillion economy cannot support a $60 trillion bucket of used lottery tickets that everyone wants to pretend still have some value. They don't. The only real question is just how much actual money is left, and I suspect the answer is near zero. This is the ticking time bomb. I've always believed that the growth in derivatives from a low of about $60 trillion in 1997 to a high of about $800 trillion in 2008 was the foundation was the foundation stone for the credit running total out of control worldwide. It's true. Brooksley Bourne famously attempted to regulate the Wild West environment of derivatives in 1997, only to be slapped down by a classic Washington, D.C. turf war led by Alan Greenspan, Larry Summers, and Robert Rubin. We are going to rue the day she lost that battle. Remember Brooksley Bourne? She's been on Coast to Coast and stuff from time to time, too. Now, what this person's talking about, and I you can just Google Moriarty and the $60 trillion thing here, the problem, the real problem, is they're not telling you the real wolf in the woods economically that's heading for us, that's going to throw us into a depression, is the fact that there's $600 trillion outstanding in paper. On paper, it doesn't exist, nobody worked for it, nobody sweat for it, it's out there. Loans for businesses, loans for industry, all of it's out there, and the whole, you know, Japan holds some of it, China holds some of it, and it's about to get flushed. And if you add up all the money in the world, all the economies, the GNPs, it's about $60 trillion. It can't be paid. It can't be paid. It's physically impossible. That's the dirty little secret. So when we tell you here from Stronghold Radio, and more specifically the church at Kauai, that you need to be putting stuff away and be preparing, you've got to be taking heed, folks. This is the other shoe that's going to drop and just cave in economies around the world. Greece, Iceland, Spain, Portugal, a couple other countries are the litmus test for what's going to happen here. And we're going to fall a lot harder, a lot deeper, a lot more violently than these other, you know, tiny nations of just a few million people. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. We've passed the tipping point. And it's not just, you know, extremist economists that are doing it. Everybody knows it. That's why they will not allow Ron Paul to audit the Fed. This is one of those leading indicators that they're not talking about that you need to pay attention to. So Google derivatives, learn everything you can about it. If you don't believe it, study it. And tell me if you've got an answer to this. How are we going to pay off these kind of debts? The hidden tax of inflation. I was looking at welders. I used to always buy this $100 welder at Harbor Freight and use it until it broke. I made a ton of money with it. I'd make thousands of dollars fixing stuff, making stuff, selling stuff. So it was worth it for me to get a disposable Hosfeld Campbell MIG feed, wire feed, flux core welder. Didn't need bottles of gas or anything. And I'd buy a bunch of wire and I'd use it. And then when I was done, I'd give it away or sell it for a few dollars to somebody who could, you know, take the time to revamp it if he wanted to. I've gone through like three or four of those in my life. Well, I went looking yesterday. And they're like around $200 now. The cheapest one I found was $160. So that's at least a 60% increase from just a couple of years ago in that very same product. The welding wire that I used to get for $10 a spool is like $24 a spool. Everything that, because and it works for me because I haven't slowly watched it go up in price because I haven't touched a welder in like 4 or 5 years. So I've seen this huge increase in the price of things. You know, everybody, we can talk about food, we can talk about gas as it fluctuates, but hard material things that people need to make money, to operate businesses, the price is going up because of the devaluation of the dollar. Stock market's going all nuts again and everything. Those things that happen day to day, we don't pay attention to those. But pay attention to this derivatives market. And I'm not going to pretend to be a financial wizard or guru and understand all of it, but I'm here to tell you that that is the sneak attack that's going to come after us. That's going to be, you know, a Black Tuesday or whatever day it happens when it hits, that you're going to know exactly where you were standing when the people in the news finally admitted, oh, wait a minute, we're doomed. Nobody will take the dollar anymore. Our paper's not good anymore. The United States has been lowered to junk bond status. Mark my words. I don't know if it's going to be in the next 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, but it's going to happen, and I believe it's going to happen within my lifetime. Because I don't know how long they can keep the door barred and keep this thing away. But so that's something to look at there. Here we go. That's exactly what I was going to say. Hang on. Let's turn this up. Are you there, Lane?
Yes, Dutch.
Good. You perfect timing. I was about to say, hey, Lane, call in now. I'm done with my little diatribe.
How's the Dutch boy doing, recovering from his stroke?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. The stroke's the least of my problems. I got some kind of, we've got this cold stomach flu thing going around here that's making us all feel nasty. But from the stroke, I've just got numbness. I drool a little bit. I forget words like pliers. I was trying to explain. I was like holding them in my hand saying, somebody tell me what this is. I forgot what the word was. But I went in and had an MRI done, and they said I've got very minute damage. And as long as it's funny, they said you need to do physical therapy. And I go, what's that? And they said, for a couple hours a day, sit down and talk and just read things. And I'm like, well, I do that already anyway, so I don't need to go to physical therapy. So reading news articles and talking to folks on the radio. But thank you for asking. I appreciate that.
You do plenty of talking. Well, the nice thing about brains is that sometimes if there's parts of your brain that are damaged, other parts of your brain will step up to the plate and start doing those jobs. So there's always hope for recovery.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you can always remap and things like that.
Yeah, so I'm glad you hear it. You sound good to me. I don't notice any difference.
Yeah.
But, of course, I can't see you drooling.
Yes, yes, yes. That's true. Yeah, it's just something I have to carry a napkin around, and the numbness, I got used to it. I only notice it when I think about it now, so there you go.
Well, I wanted to let you know I got a call from the court today. I filed a motion to quash my subpoena. You see, the prosecutor in Shawna Ford's case and all three of these Arivaca massacre cases have played this game where they subpoenaed me for all three cases. Now, they've had two trials. They haven't asked me to come forward. But because I'm under subpoena, put those words in quotes, and I am on the witness list, put that in quotes, that means that I can't attend any of the trials. And, of course, now I've read the transcripts for both trials. I know what everybody said, all the witnesses. So, you know, as far as them making the excuse that my testimony would be tainted because I know what everybody else said, well, that's getting a little bit tired. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I really want to be in court when those witnesses lie. I want to see the expressions on their faces. I want to see them fidget on the witness stand. And I really think it's important for me to be able to do that. So I filed a motion to quash my own subpoena. And Judge Leonardo wisely decided to recuse himself because obviously he can't be unbiased towards me. I mean, he almost sent me to jail one day.
Yes.
When I showed up in his courtroom, so I have a feeling I'm just a real thorn in his side. Anyway, my motion will be heard at 9:30 tomorrow in Judge Field's courtroom at 100 West Congress in Tucson.
Wow.
So I don't want to jinx this at all and say, well, I don't expect much because, I don't know, I could win. But I keep in mind that I'm coming up against the same system that the prosecutors work in. And I'm sure all the judges know each other. They're probably all buddy-buddy. So I'm an outsider, but I think logically I can prove my case that I should be allowed to attend the court.
Yeah, and what's amazing is that I love the fact that as broken as the system is, you can still use it to annoy them by making them come and answer this complaint that you brought against them. I love it.
Well, I think that they had to do something about it. It's funny because I called Judge Leonardo's court today and, you know, inquired about what was happening with my motion because I filed it Thursday a week ago. And like an hour and a half, 2 hours after that, then I got a call from another clerk. The only bummer about this for me is that I'm going to have to travel 250
yeah.
miles to make, what, a 5-15 minute appearance in court.
Yeah.
So there you have it. I'll let you know what the outcome is, but I would feel that if I won, it would be a huge victory for the common man
it
to
sure
use
would
the
be.
System.
And even if you're just putting a stick in the eye of, you know, Pima County, it's worth it right there. Just the fact that you show up for the battle, you know, because there is a cause and people need to stand up to this stuff. And if not, it'll at least slow them down a little bit because somebody else may get the idea, hey, if they do this to me, I'm gonna keep them busy in court too. So at least.
Well, I've been poking them in their eyes with sticks
yeah.
for several months now. I mean, this is not my first time
sure.
at the rodeo, but I'm not a lawyer. I don't always understand how the system works. I had to read somebody else's motion and try to emulate it.
Right.
But apparently I did well enough that they took me seriously enough that a judge is at least hearing it. So that's something in and of itself. I find it very hard to think that I could write the book Blonde on the Border and not attend any of the trials. It just seems like there would be something missing that you can't quite get out of the transcript.
Right, right, yeah.
There's nothing like being there.
Well, it's a prime example of how they try to do things behind closed doors, less witnesses, the grievousness that the way that they locate the courts and make you go out of your way. And of course, I could go into for hours about, you know, you had to copy somebody else's motion to get this done because they speak a whole different language. They just exclude the common person from the courts anymore. And it's all part of their plan to make it inaccessible so that they can do the dirty deeds that they want in secret because people will just give up and not show up.
Well, the hardest part of writing this motion, Dutch, for me was finding appropriate case law. And it must have been a gift from God. It must have been something divine because I remember one night I went to bed at 10. I woke up at 2. And one thing I had on my mind was write that motion. And I said, I got to find an angle. I got to find an angle. And I finally found a case law angle. The bottom line is that I'm being excluded from the courtroom based on the content of what I've already written. Because I've written things that were critical of Pima County
sure.
and of prosecutors. So it's discrimination based on content, and that is illegal, and I've cited three case law cases
yeah.
where they ruled in favor of the person who was writing the unpopular content.
Excellent. Excellent.
So I ask you and your listeners to pray for me because I do promise you this, when Blonde on the Border, the government's case against the Minutemen, is written, I will tell the truth. I'm not going to
yeah.
tell the government story. I'm going to tell the Patriot story.
Good, good, and we appreciate that. And it needs to be done. We need more people that are willing to do the hard work and to put their name on something, to put it out there so that the enemy will know that they are accountable, that they are not operating in a vacuum, and that people will just let them do what they want. So it's important that folks do these types of things. And
my name's out there plenty, maybe a little bit too much.
Yes, yes. Can you? Hey,
thank you for what you do, Dutch.
Well, it's a small thing, but I like doing it. I look forward to it every day, and it's and I think you understand it. I feel compelled to do it. It's almost cathartic for me. I sit and read the articles and we discuss things and I get so mad I got to have an outlet. So it's almost like therapy for me to get in front of this microphone when I do because at least I can point out what I think is unjust and unrighteous out there. Otherwise, I'd probably go nuts.
We all need to vent, but we also need to learn to do it in an effective way.
Yeah.
We need to vent in such a way that it will actually have results for the common good.
That's where education, you've got to educate yourself, you've got to learn how to, even if you don't like the way they run the system, you've got to learn how to operate within their system, because when you beat them on their, at their own rules, it has a lasting effect.
Yeah, I think that's true to some degree, but when you're dealing with a place like Pima County that violates the law with impunity all the time, violates their own laws, sometimes it's pretty discouraging.
Well, that's where the wars are the bloodiest, when the enemy doesn't play even by their own rules, like, you know, murdering that Marine down there last month. And I just read something today. They still have no idea why the police were there. And it just, I can't imagine what it must be like to be in Pima County. I would just be frightened every time I saw law enforcement or any, even the trash men. If I saw, like, county employees mowing the grass, I'd be thinking, oh, man, I don't want to get near them. They're going to kill me. Because it just seems totally corrupt from the top to the bottom down there.
Well, I think the whole drug war was invented for a reason, so that drugs could be planted on people who were unpopular with the government, and they could be put away.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's a way to get in the door. The one thing that tyrants do very well is they learn from other tyrants, and they learn from what goes right and what goes wrong, and they knew, just like they, right here in California now, they're using DUI checkpoints to get into everybody's car. But people are starting to fight that now, so they're like, oh, wait a minute, we can't do that anymore. So, but what better way than to go after, say, well, it's because of DUIs, it's because of drugs, it's for public safety. You know, everybody, oh, I want to be safe. And you're right, the war on drugs was just a step towards tyranny, so that they'd have a reason to send dogs into your house, search your vehicle, and seize your property, ultimately, is what it's all about, making you a slave and liquidating your property for the state.
I think it's about wrecking my life. There's so many aspects of my life that have suffered deleterious consequences my speaking out. It's sad, and had I known that would happen, I might have kept my trap shut.
Well, you're a high-value target to them because you cause them problems. And rather than just Jane Q. Public, where they just want to make you a slave and take your belongings and make you play along with the game they're playing, they need to shut you up. So they're going to make an extra effort, and they're going to actually try to destroy you. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, the things that that you've told me about in the emails about your phones and stuff like that, those are all dirty tricks that they've played against people since the 60s. You know, it didn't matter who they were, if they were left-wing or right-wing or patriots or communists. It doesn't matter. If they don't like somebody, they make their lives a living hell, and they focus on them. And that's probably what they're doing to you.
Yeah, to some degree, I think if I find out anything really dirty about the government or about Pima County, they may just try to kill me. I'm not sure exactly why I'm still alive, except that they may think that it would be inconvenient to rub me out right now because questions might be asked.
Yeah, it gets to the tipping point, like with everything, where the value of getting rid of you versus the risk of getting caught or the appearance of impropriety on their part. But like you said, if you ever come across something big enough, you've got to, and I'm sure you know this, you divulge it in such a way that you can protect yourself. And we all have to be that way. They go after people. I remember it was the Montana senator or congressman several years ago that wrote a book about how the IRS was ripping everybody off, and he ended up going to jail, and they tortured the guy, they ruined the guy's life. And people just sit back and go, okay, you know, that's fine, whatever. It's not happening to me, I don't care. So it's about timing and attention, I think. And right now, I think you're safe because of the timing and attention. And they still may want to use you for reverse information too. You never know. I mean, the worst thing they could do to you is leak information that you think is true. You release it, and it turns out it's just, you know, a big phony story, and it makes you look stupid. That's the easiest way they ruin people.
That really hurts your credibility right there.
Yeah. So there's many ways that they deal with us. You know, it's not always Waco and Ruby Ridge. Sometimes it's just financial or reputation-wise.
I'm lucky to have really vigilant neighbors in my neighborhood.
Good.
And I now have a big, vicious dog in my yard. So that tends to discourage uninvited visitors.
That's always a good thing to do. And
yes.
You take every precaution you can, you know that, and just being, sometimes I think being out there and being vocal is sometimes the best defense by being extremely offensive. And that's one of the reasons I do the show, because I'm just like, I'm right here every day, you know, and they know where I'm at. Well, thank you for calling in, Lane. We're going to a break right now. And
thank you, Dad.
Feel free, as always, to let us know what's going on down there in the corrupt area of Pima County.
Right on.
Okay, talk to you later. Thank you. Turn it down. We'll be right back on Stronghold Radio. I'm trying to hang up the phone here. It won't work. Hang up. Hang up. There we go. I'm Dutch Jones, and we'll be right back with another half hour of just offbeat and unpolitically correct speech. Unpolitically correct, is that a word? Non-politically correct? Politically incorrect speech. Why do I need a modifier when I can just say it like that? Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back. I got bubbles on my screen, Lou. What's this? Bubbles. Ah! Maybe those beautiful talking heads on my TV. And when I called them to complain, and I asked them to explain, they just said that it proves that you're not in the groove of the new majority. Yeah, sure. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Now they've got microwaves and laser beams and rays to look inside your dreams and satellites that can see your DVDs. They got chips that fit inside your head that'll make you think their thoughts instead, and drugs that'll make you do just as they please. And to make things even more serious, they got strains of new bacteria that are surely to cause some unknown new disease. And that's why we got fear and high anxiety and paranoid perplexity and the gradual loss of all our liberties. And as they try to bring us all down, they might leave us with a frown. They might even be the source of all the rumors in this town. Well, just between you and me, can't you feel the conspiracy? Can't you sense the hypocrisy, as they call it, democracy? Well, it's a threat to your sanity, and not to mention your liberty. And it's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. So as they redirect our mail and all our incoming phone calls to the Central Intelligence Agency, we'll just hope and pray someday they'll see that you and me are not the enemy, nor do we believe in cult theology. And as their police try to bust us, we'll keep trying to find some justice, though it's hidden behind a wall of masonry. We'll keep working out our salvation with the feeling of fear and trembling, hoping and praying someday the truth might set us all free. That just cause the media won't respond don't mean there's nothing going on. And brother, what'll you do if there's something to all the words inside this song? Well, you can say that I'm wild-eyed, that all my fears are unjustified, or that I'm totally mystified by a man who's crucified. But just between you and me, what hung him up on that tree? It was all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. It's all an evil, filthy, rotten conspiracy. Believe me.
It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. The table and come back over here. We gotta do the show. Lou's doing some ripping air guitar. This is Lou on air guitar. Welcome back to Stronghold Radio. Oh, he's doing the windmill now. You know that the Who? He looks like Pete Townsend right now. You don't know who Pete Townsend is? Man, I've neglected your homeschooling. Yes, this is Stronghold Radio. Yes. Oh, and he finished. He did this big old salute kind of guitar thing. Now he's pretending to smash his guitar.
No, I don't.
He's pretending to put lighter fluid on it and set it on fire. Lou, you really get into this air guitar thing, don't you?
I didn't even do that.
We're coming to you from Cahuilla, California. And Cahuilla, yeah, it's the sound of Cro-Mix. Some kind of Indians. I forgot what they were. The Yokel Indians. Yokut? Is it Yokel or Yokut? I know there's two. I think the Yokuts were here. And they liked crows and ravens, and they'd make the sound. And I'm going to do the sound one time for you, because I get this. What's Cahuilla mean? They thought it's some religious thing or some military thing. This is it. The crow sounds like this. You're like, if you got that little game and you spin it around and you pull the string, the crow sounds like, Cahuilla! Cahuilla! That's it. It's the last time I'm doing that on the air. But it is the sound that they make. And I want to work it into our militia patch. But then a black raven or black crow kind of counters the whole fact that we're a Christian militia. They'll think we're some kind of animist or, we're going after some animal worship. So I don't know. But Cahuilla. Cahuilla Commandos, and spell commandos with a K and then have like a raven on it. There were ravens that fed that one king. I forget his name in the Bible. When he was by the river, they brought him food. Maybe we can have a raven bringing food to a king. But then it gets too busy for a patch, So just the way it goes. Another article, we'll get right back into it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Olima, for providing our pod people with their downloadable abilities, a place for them to go. Thank you to our people from MySpace, our regular group of listeners, our guests. We have three guests tuning in. We appreciate that. And people listening wherever this is being rebroadcast. Scotty takes it and sends it out over the 11-meter band, and we appreciate that. Unknown thousands that listen to that in New York. Probably have more people listening on 11 meters than I do listening on the direct feed. The people listening on Ustream, on our Facebook, not our Facebook page, we don't have it embedded there, they won't let me embed it anymore. On our DutchJones.info page, we appreciate that. And all the people around the world that are buying it for 99 cents an episode from that guy on eBay. God bless you. Appreciate it. And as always, I put this little disclaimer out. You can use the show as long as you use it 1 hour at a time. Don't cut it up. Don't take things out. Use it in its entirety. And I understand why you might want just 1 hour versus 2 hours, but just you got to use the whole show. I don't want anybody doing anything. Yeah, we're not on Facebook embedded anymore, but people do listen to the... Actually, there is a player when I put it in there, so people listening on Facebook. There's a MySpace out there, but I forgot how to get into it. And I don't even think... I think it's still got the old U-Broadcast player on it, so they can't even listen, and I gave up on MySpace. It's just I don't have enough time in the day to do all this social networking stuff. I'm too busy, planning the overthrow of evil and plotting my rise to power to do that, teaching dogs how to talk and things like that. So, and trying to keep Lewis from spending the whole day doing air guitar, because that's all he would do. But it's better. Last year it was air accordion. He was really into the air accordion thing, and he'd dress in little lederhosen and run around the house pretending to play the accordion and doing Weird Al Yankovic songs and stuff. But today I'm glad to see he's into the air guitar. It's so much better.
I've never done that.
You can deny all you want. We know the truth, Lou. It's okay. It's good that you've come out of the closet. You're an air guitar musician. Admit it. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not.
We still love you. Oh, folks, going on in Europe, vegetables are killing people. This holy coli thing, I think it said like 17 dead, hundreds injured, you know, hospitalized, people having kidneys being destroyed. And they can't really figure out if it's cucumbers, tomatoes, carrots, where it actually came from. It's widespread. And today, some scientists came out and said, this is a new hybrid strand of E. coli that we've never seen before. Warning. engineered bioweapon. That's all I'm going to say on that one. But it's a good example of how you got to watch the little things, read between the lines. This genetic engineered E. coli that's coming out, unfortunately, they're testing it on people. They've done it before. They'll keep doing it. They're just testing things. I don't think it's Al-Qaeda. I think it's governments. I think it's probably gigantic food corporations. May even be a mistake. They may have said, oh, wait a minute, that wasn't supposed to go out. We wanted to see what would happen. I was listening last night to Coast, and they had some atheistic scientist on there, but he brought up some interesting things. The folks doing the Geonome Project have come out and admitted that they've made alien life forms. Now, don't get all all upset and say there's no such thing as aliens. What he did is they figured out ways to take and create biological entities, little microbes, that are not of the same pattern that everything on Earth is. You know, carbon base, same proteins, all that. And if they were to unleash something like that, it would be devastating. So these scientists, there are mad scientists all around the world working for governments, working for corporations that are just manipulating everything. And I have no doubt that this is a case of that, the E. coli. Just another example of you got to get ready to grow your own food. And we're behind the eight ball on it. I just haven't had the energy since the stroke or the time to do it. I think what we're going to do maybe when we get Anthea here, our daughter here, I think the four of us are just going to start doing maybe something small. Start off small. Stacy's been doing pretty good. She's got her citrus trees. Lou's got to go water the trees. What are those trees that were just planted, the good ones that are doing real? No, I know they're fruit trees, but what kind? Pomegranate trees are doing really good, and some citrus trees down there, so we're going to make sure you water those today. But I think we're going to put in some beds and chicken wire down to keep the gophers out, get the gopher traps out again, maybe get some gopher poison. We heard for gophers, road flares work really well. No, not on the individual gopher, although that would be fun to do to the little buggers. But instead of going and buying the expensive gopher bombs, take a road flare, ignite it, and just stick it down the hole. They're cheaper, they burn longer, and then you just wait with a shovel because they're going to come out of the ground. And you just smack those puppies, and well, they're not puppies, the gophers. Don't smack your puppies, smack the gophers. But we need to get doing this, and I advise everybody to do it. Going back to what I talked about in the first half hour, of course, food's going to go through the roof. With all these floods, with these wars, with oil going up, weather problems, food is just going to go off the scale for price. And even if you can get it, availabilities, or even if you can afford it, rather, excuse me, availability is going to be tough. I was talking to Warland, who is Warland here? My stuff's kind of, no, Warland's not here. He's talking about the rice crop in his area of California. It's been too cold for the rice crop to be growing properly. It has to be hot. And usually, at this time of year, we're in 90, 95 degree weather. I remember I moved here 5 years ago. It was 104 degrees on June 4th. I remember that because I was underneath my Suzuki Samurai swapping out a transfer case that exploded. So the rice crop is going to be doing bad. Rice prices are going to go up here, and we're going to have to import more. Minuteman's asking me if we have walnut trees. We do not have walnut trees here. We don't have any nut trees. We've got fig, pomegranate, loquats, lemons, oranges, all kinds of stuff, but we don't have any walnut trees. That would be a good one. Walnuts are a good source of protein. I think they grow in a two-year cycle, too. You can harvest them, you know, like continuously. They have, anyway. Besides growing the harvest to storage takes some thought and time and energy, too. That's right, I see freedom. It's going to take a lot of energy. So we need to, you know, you got to come up with that. How are you going to process it? What's good is that if you grow a whole bunch of tomatoes, do you know how to can them? We're fortunate here. We have enough people that know how to can things that we can do that. Drying. We just saw another food dehydrator We need to get on board with that and start doing that kind of stuff and see what we can process ourselves. Because right now, honestly, I've just been buying food and storing it in 55-gallon drums in the basement and stashing it all over the house so Lou won't eat it. And, you know, that's what we do. IC Freedom's noting that he saw that there's 40% damage to the rice crop in the Midwest, too, with all this flooding and everything. And everybody converting their fields to corn around here to grow for alternative fuels. Not a whole lot of corn being grown for food. Because you can't eat the same. It's a different kind of seed strain that they've planted for fuel. So corn products are going to go up. And think about the end result. If farmers have to pay more for the harvesters to harvest the wheat, there's wheat out here on the west side of the valley. Wheat prices are going to go through the roof. Plus, we're shipping stuff overseas. We have contracts to supply food to everybody else. Availability is going to be really, really limited. I see Freedom saying spinach is great for protein and overall other goodness. Just don't cook it. I cannot stand cooked spinach. I'll eat it raw all day long. I'll throw it on a salad. I'll throw it in a taco. Chop it up, throw it in eggs, you know, sprinkle it on eggs after they've been cooked. But I hate cooked spinach. I'm not like that. Nut trees are a good source of protein. Minuteman saying he's got four of them at his retreat. Nut trees are really good. We've got people that are friends of the church that sell us almonds, and I eat almonds as a snack now. And almonds grow really good in this area. But I'm trying to think. Everything that's up here is citrus. There's an orchard just down the road from us. I don't think there's any nuts being grown in this area. I have to find out if there's a reason for that. But you're right. It might be good, even though we're looking into the future. It'd take a while for me to go get a sapling of walnuts, but at least I'd be planning for the future. So it might be a good thing, or if I could splice some in. But yeah, this area is good for growing stuff. The soil is really good. The biggest detriment is just the gophers. And then Minuteman said that it's going to be hard to find road flares because arsons use them all the time. Arsonists use them to start forest fires. I've seen them at Harbor Freight quite a bit. They have them there, and you can get several of them for a few dollars. So we may try doing that. I like the poison. We've got squirrels, ground squirrels, that are decimating some stuff. So we just put poison out for that. The problem is with all these poisons, you got to make sure you're not poisoning the other things. We've been seeing a lot of wildlife lately. I don't know if it's because of the really cool weather or something. We're noticing them more. I don't know what it is. I don't even know the correlation there. But raccoon tracks, coyotes pooped right in front of our door last night. I don't know if they're trying to send us a message, Stace, or something, but the coyotes were out. Of course, one of our cats got clamped on by a coyote, but yeah. There are a lot of walnut orchards in Visalia. I think that's what you meant, Vivilia, Minuteman. But they're so far down, and they're heavily dependent upon irrigation. In a survival mode, they're not going to last after one season. So I wouldn't count on them being down there unless we're able to have enough people that we can control the irrigation. And that's way beyond what we're doing now. We were just talking about that the other day because we'd have to take control of the dam to control the irrigation in the area, because that's what our dam is here. We're about 12 miles from the Cahuilla Dam. It's the St. John River. For some reason, it's the Cahuilla River going into the reservoir and the St. John River coming out, which is ridiculous. It's the same river. It's just they put a dam on it. But the Army Corps of Engineers are there right now, and they control the irrigation systems coming off of that. And hopefully they'll stick around and we can continue to use them. But I wouldn't count on any corporate or small family farms in the valley being able to operate for more than a year, because they haven't recharged the aquifer, the subterranean water, the wells. So they're not even going to have enough. Even after all the regulations done and they can turn on all the water, if there's they've got so much infrastructure, and they've overbuilt the system so much that if it's not tended by government officials controlling the water or somebody taking their place, it's going to be devastating. And the dam is designed, it needs to be operated. It's not like it'll just fill up and overflow. It's actually designed that once it gets to a certain level, the dam gets ripped out. I know that sounds stupid, but that's the way it is. You can get any kind of tree or bush from Stark Brothers, and he put the phone number. Minuteman put this up, get ready to grab something here. He says you can get any kind of tree or bush from Stark Brothers. I assume they're a wholesaler or a retailer. 1-800-325-4180. That's 1-800-325-4180 if you're not in the chat room. And you can get trees. I assume they deliver them. We're going to actually go down to the nursery probably next week. We've got too much going on this week. And pick out some tomato plants and things like that. Stacy, God bless her, is growing ghost chili peppers from the seeds. She's, you know, growing them in a can or something. And we're going to use those because Icy Freedom said cayenne pepper's good to drive away rodents. We're told that these hot peppers also do that. And, yeah, we'll grow cayenne peppers, ghost peppers. You can make your own black two-leg moose repellent. Yeah, cayenne. We're going to use ghost chili peppers, and Lou knows the formula for making two-legged moose repellent. I haven't heard that in a while, two-legged moose. On Liberty Tree Radio, they refer to that. So so we could do that. But it's time to get on it now, folks. I really see a squeeze. Just like Stalin said, food's a weapon. And whether they intend to do it or not doesn't matter. The economy, the environment, global warming, global cooling, flooding, tornadoes. I mean, this tornado thing's getting out of hand. So don't count on somebody else bringing you your food. I was talking to Warland, and he told me that there were something like 25,000 trees destroyed by tornadoes in Chico, California. Five tornadoes stepped down. We had another tornado yesterday somewhere here in California. I don't know what damage it did. It was farther north. Massachusetts got hit with tornadoes. So you better be having your own garden because you don't put all your eggs in one basket. All your MREs may go to Kansas if a tornado hits or a flash flood. Folks in the Dakotas, flooding. Folks along the Mississippi, flooding. It's getting to be ridiculous. And I don't even know what hurricane season is going to do. So a victory garden, a survival garden, whatever you want to call it. And all the advice you're getting here for, you know, trees, plan way ahead. Plant some trees, fruit trees. You know, if you could grow pork chops on a tree, I'd advise doing it. Wouldn't that be great if we could genetically alter a tree to grow pork chops? But I digress. Be looking into rabbits, chickens. I know a lot of you say, but I live in a city. Rabbits are great. Other than the slight odor, and if you take care of it and clean them well enough and use that as compost, people won't notice that you're raising rabbits. They won't hear them. Chickens, on the other hand, but you can't live on just rabbit meat. There's not enough fat content. But rabbits is a good sustainable thing for a while, and you can feed them hay. You don't need to go get a bunch of expensive pellets. Our friend Pastor Thomas McConnell in Rayville, Missouri, right? I always say, want to say Arkansas, Rayville, Missouri. They have tons of rabbits, and they raise them on alfalfa hay, straw. No, hay. It's actually hay, not straw. And down the road, we've got a place. It's a horse ranch, and they sell hay right there. You know, I think it's up to almost $10 a bale now. But depending on how many rabbits you have, there you go. So, Minuteman saying a pizza tree. That Lou would love that. A hot pocket tree for Lou. Of course, we'd have to grow a tree that had microwaves on it, too, so Lou could process his hot pockets. We'll just hook up a generator for Lou to do that. So be looking for deals on things that you can plant right now. Practice. Don't say, well, I don't have the facilities. Remember the 5-gallon buckets. Do them on a patio somewhere. At least get something so you gain the knowledge and the experience. I know people that they're just doing what they can. Even if it's just a fistful of tomatoes, at least you know you can do it. And you get the working knowledge of doing it, and you can learn now. I don't know how much time God's given us. I really don't. My name's not Harold Camping. I'm not going to give you a date here, folks. But if you want me to, it's immediate. Liquidate your assets and send us your funds, and we'll make sure they go to good use. I can't believe that. People gave everything to that idiot. I don't know. It just shows how people are desperate for an answer. Well, the answer is pretty clear. You know, occupy until he returns. Make preparations to provide for your family, your kin, your neighbors, if you like your neighbors. Not so many of my neighbors I like, but I do provide for those few that I get along with, and going to do the best I can. We've got some trainings coming up in late June, early July that I want to share with you. I don't know the exact nature of them, but for those of you that have been here before, we're going to have Magic Serbiak from ATAC Academy. We're going to do some nighttime stuff. It'll probably be just a one-day night maneuvers, learning how to communicate by squeezing a shoulder, tapping, entering and clearing a room in total pitch black. Those types of things are going to work on that. I want to remind you that we're going to have a training on the 18th and 19th of June. It's a stayover. Saturday, Stacy pointed out to me today that that's Father's Day. You guys know I don't do holidays, not for a biblical reason or anything like that. It's just I just don't. So I apologize for picking that date, but it's been set and people are coming from all over, so I apologize. But what better way to spend Father's Day than to bring your kid up here, or your wife, or your dad, and camp out with us from 10 a.m. on Saturday and do different scenarios and drills. We've done it before. It's a lot of fun. This one's going to be geared more towards the community emergency response team training, evacuations, triage, medical stuff, dealing with an unknown event that just pops on you and how to function. We'll do that. And then the second day, you come to church with us, you chow with us, and then we're going to train on disaster psychology, both kind of for the victim, because you may be a victim, but mostly for the spontaneous rescuer or the trained professional rescuer, because that's what you're going to be when you're done with all of this CERT training. They hate it when I say professional, but if you've taken the time to do the training, I consider you a professional. And then we're going to deal with team structures and things that you can take back with you. So those are the trainings we got coming up. When I find out more about the Magic Serbiak one, I'll let you know. He's always a real good deal. That one with Magic Serbiak is probably going to be either $50 or $100 for one day. The ones I do, I don't charge. I just ask that if you come here and you like what we're doing, just make a donation to the church. You know, stick around, go to church with us, throw something little in the tray. Because we need all the help we can get there, too. IC Freedom is saying it's a real peace of mind when you get used to doing your own food production. You control quality to some extent over Food Inc. Yeah. In fact, we were going to sell Mountain House Foods, but we never got around to it because we just don't have facilities, the money to up front. I told you we were going to get our own storefront, but it never came to fruition. But we got an announcement from them today saying that they are no longer supplying food to private people or wholesalers unless they are a known store chain. They said they just cannot keep up with the demand. Mountain House sent out a notice. I don't know if Minuteman got one of those today. I just got it today, saying that they're shutting down their website. You can't order off the website anymore. They said if you want our fine product right now, you're going to have to go to Sports Chalet, Walmart, what's the other one, REI. Because they said they can't keep up with the demand. They said if they had the financial influx of investment that they would increase their production, but as of right now, it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do it. So that's a sign right there. People are buying up freeze-dried food like mad, and we missed an opportunity there, but it just wasn't meant to be. So I'm not going to sweat it, but a little warning for you. For those of you that were putting it off, going, I'm just going to go to the website and get a few cases of beef stroganoff. You can't do it anymore. At least according to the official letterhead I got today from them, they're not going to make Mountain House food available to the general public. You have to go through one of their certified retailers. Now, if it comes around and we get to open our store someday, maybe we'll be one of those certified retailers and we'll make it available to you that way. But as of right now, it's not going to happen. So we don't have access to freeze-dried food anymore. Not that anybody ordered it from us. Twinkle Toes said, I used to have a black thumb, but after 4 years of trial and error, I'm getting greener. Yeah, I'm the same way. When I was a kid, I could grow anything. I was in Colorado. We didn't have gophers and stuff like that. I'd grow cantaloupe, potatoes, radishes, corn. I grew all kinds of stuff. I never tried trees or anything. But anything that anybody else could grow, I could do it. And we did primitive style, you know, used tires and, you know, railroad ties and made flower beds and just, you know, didn't even have straight rows. I watered everything with a hose and we got a lot of rain in the summertime and I didn't have to really do a whole lot and we grew our own stuff. But now it's like not anymore. I have the same problem. I don't have a green thumb, but we're going to try. What am I hearing? That's really weird. I'm hearing something come in through. Oh, it's an aircraft. Oh, we've got aircraft flying over. Low cloud cover, too, so who knows? Could be anybody. But, if you get nothing else from this hour, I want you to go out of your way this week to look at even just growing something in your window. You know, getting one of those, what's that thing that you have out here, Twinkle Toes? It's like a tomato tree. Throw up a tomato tree you know, one of those hanging tomato things. Get one of those from Ronco or whoever supplies them and grow some tomatoes and get your hands dirty. Start doing some studying on what fertilizers, what will grow in your area, I guess is the most important thing, or the area that you're going to retreat to if you're going to retreat. But get out there, bend your knee, get in the dirt, and it's a form of preparation that we all need to do more of. I sometimes get too cocky and go, well, I'll just wander around and shoot things and we'll eat them, but we're going to need vegetables too. You know, even though I'm not a big fan of vegetables, I realize that I eat more than I think, and I miss them when they're not there. You know, a nice big juicy tomato, a big head of lettuce, some celery, beets in a salad, whatever. You know, there's always those things that are going to make your life a little bit more tolerable if you have fresh vegetables that you can grow. And if nothing else, it gives the non-productive types in your survival plan something to do. It's a nice time-on-task thing that even simple, you know, water and weed. Could you please just go pull weeds and water? Could you make sure of that for us and, you know, thump gophers on the head? The people that you don't trust to be walking the perimeter with a rifle, but yet they're smarter than somebody you'd want to just go have them dig latrines. You know, he liked them a little too much for that. Not that there's anything wrong with having to dig latrines. Somebody's got to do it. But you get my point. Gardening is a good thing to be prepared for. I saw flyers today or yesterday. The local hardware stores got all these farming implements, gardening implements, for like $5 each. Go stock up on those. Shovels, hoes, rakes. Boy, time ran out fast here. We're going to be back after the break. Hopefully we'll be on Liberty Tree Radio. If not, we're going to stick here with Stronghold Radio with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. He's not in the room yet, but I'm sure he'll be here any minute. And we'll be doing a little show on the Declaration of Independence for Practical Christianity. Thanks for tuning in, and we will wait till he gets here, and we'll keep playing music. Thank you. Crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Keep on the fort and line. battle, surely you must fight. So keep on the foreign line, brother, keep on the foreign line.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome again to Stronghold Radio, coming to you through many outlets. Liberty Tree Radio, 11 Meter Band, the Pod People. We appreciate the podcast people. Thank you, Olima, for always making that available. And it is Thursday, the 2nd of June, 2011, and that means one thing, one very important thing, that it's time for Practical Christianity. And coming to you via the church at Kuia, Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. And we've got some exciting stuff to talk about today. I'm really looking forward to this one.
All right, DJ. Well, good. Good evening to everybody. I let Dutch know yesterday that I wanted to talk about the Declaration of Independence, folks. That's coming up next month as we celebrate our independence from Great Britain. And we've been looking at that at the church at Kuia. And so I just wanted to continue some of the teaching that we've been doing at the church and bring it to you guys on the internet and other radio outlets as well, and trust that it will be a blessing to you. This is the Practical Christianity Hour, so the question could be raised, what does the Declaration of Independence have to do with practical Christianity?
Right.
And that would be a fair question, but it would be a question if somebody raised it based upon a certain ignorance of the totality of a full-orbed gospel message. What do I mean by that is the full gospel that the Word of God reaches every area of life, therefore it reaches my political and civil liberty as well as my spiritual liberty and my liberty and freedom from the bondage of sin, but it also talks about my freedom and the bondage of tyranny, the tyranny of man. So as we, before we get into the Declaration of Independence and make some applications for our lives today, I want to mention a few things, Dutch. One is, let me start with a quote, folks. It's from Alexis de Tocqueville when he came to America in 1830 to see the greatness of America, because America just took off like a rocket in terms of its greatness and was the greatest nation the world ever seen at that time. And de Tocqueville, as he went around all of America and traveled by train and boat and so forth, he said this. He said, "The Americans combine the notions of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive the one without the other." And of course, as you know, Dutch, this is where we come from, the basis that my Christianity is in, it's tied up in my civil liberty. And my civil liberty, I know I only have it if I have Christianity.
Amen, yeah.
And so for us, it's not a problem to speak on a Christian radio broadcast and discuss the Declaration of Independence, because liberty, I can't separate, like the Founding Fathers couldn't separate the notion of Christianity and of liberty. It's the same to me.
Yeah.
My liberty is very precious to me. It's birth and it's a result of Christian principles. We didn't have Christian principles at the beginning of this nation, we wouldn't have the liberty that we once had,
right,
or even the liberty that we even have today, because we still have a certain amount of liberty, even though we're under a lot of tyranny.
Sure.
So, folks, be a Christian in America today that combines liberty and Christianity so intimately in your mind that you can't conceive of one without the other. Now, this will make you a radical Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This will make you perhaps an unpopular Christian. But nonetheless, I believe it is the right thing, and it's part of Coram Deo, as Dutch talks about it a lot. It's part of what we do before God. So our civil liberty is very, very precious to us. Now, as we, and feel free to jump in anytime you want, Dutch, that's
fine. Will do.
Okay. There, folks, as we get into that, before we get into the Declaration, I want to point out that there's actually three parts to the Declaration that we can look at. Number one is the first part of the Declaration. It can be broken down this way, is the assertion of the just cause. In defying a government which denies its people their unalienable rights. So the first part we're going to see is there's an assertion that their cause is just because King George has denied the people their unalienable right.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing we're going to look at, we'll spend quite a bit of time, is looking at the long list of despotic acts which cause the people to forfeit their obedience to King George and the Crown and Parliament. Okay, we could call it the trail of tyranny or something like that, if you would, but the despotic acts which the king had committed against the people of the colonies. Number three, then we'll see at the end, the appeal to God for aid. This is the third part of the Declaration. There's an appeal to God with a firm reliance, as it says, on divine providence. The appeal to God for aid, the Declaration of Independent States, and the Pledge of Defense, and the Declaration of independence as well as the direct declaration of dependence.
And I love that part so much because I run into so many patriots that are not Christian that haven't even really looked at the Declaration of Independence, maybe not since they were a little kid if they were fortunate enough to learn. And then when you bring that up, it says, well, this is a declaration of God aiding us in that time in our country, and it's a declaration of God standing up for the liberties he gave us. And I love that.
You're right. I believe totally. If they're in a militia group or in some patriot group, and they don't want to believe in Jesus Christ, and they don't believe God really has anything to do with it, you're right. They have not studied the Declaration because we're going to see at the very end. It says they're appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. That Supreme Judge of the world can only be God. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. And then they say at the very end there that with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence.
Yeah.
And if you look up in Webster's 1828, then you see how divine providence is used. It's God himself in his acts on behalf of men.
Right.
So that's a good point. We're going to see that, and we see it, God of nature and nature's God. We'll see in just a moment here. So we'll look for those things, folks, as we look at the Declaration of Independence, the assertion of the just cause, the long list of despotic abuses, and an appeal to God for his aid. Okay, and so as we look at this, then, as we look at the Declaration of Independence, we should see part of our practical Christianity come into bear. So it begins, and if anybody has a declaration, if you have their little Patriot's Handbook nearby your computer, feel free to get it out and you can look at the declaration that way. And Dutch is getting out his Patriot's Handbook, and he should be able to find it in there. And it begins, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. First of all, it is scriptural to find out about the dissolving of political bands. There is secession in the Bible. I'm not going to spend a lot of time or much time on that today, but just to say that secession is a biblical teaching. You can secede or dissolve an allegiance or a bond. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Now we need to stop right here. What is the laws of nature and of nature's God? Here again, Dutch, is that aspect of Christianity. This is coming right out of the writings of Sir William Blackstone. And the Founding Fathers read and studied Sir William Blackstone. And in his book, on his three-volume set on the law, he says, we understand the law of nature. There's laws of first law and second law of thermodynamics. And there's various laws that are set in motion. You don't jump off a tall building without a parachute because you're going to break. You can't defy the law of gravity. And we see the law in the animal kingdom and things like that. But he goes on to say here that not only do you have the law of nature, Blackstone said we have the law of nature and it's good and it's right, but because we ourselves, Dutch, are tainted with sin, we have a sin nature, and it skews how we think. We're prejudiced with our sin nature.
Yeah.
So we need a revelation above natural law, and that is the Word of God. And so Blackstone goes on to say that the Word of God will guide our fallen natures. So we look to not just natural law, we look to the law of nature, but of nature's God, and that would be the Word of God.
Right.
And so Blackstone is real clear there, and if somebody would like, I could actually probably get the quote here in the Research Center. So that's what he's saying. Now, so we go back now. He says that to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So when you think about folks, what requires them, impels them to the separation. Now, in just a moment, we're going to talk about the fact that we don't want to, in the third paragraph down, we're going to look at that you shouldn't separate for light and transient causes.
Yeah.
But I want to say here, the people of America have been indoctrinated. Now, I'm going to get somebody mad at me out there, but you go out and research it. The Pledge of Allegiance is new to our history, Dutch.
Sure.
That comes about 1890, after the War of Northern Aggression, after the North conquered the South, and it says, one nation, and the kids have, and we read that, and we pledge that at all these meetings, one nation, indivisible.
Right.
Wait a minute now. If we're claiming it can't be divided, what if God wants to divide the nation? What if God wants to judge? What if God wants to spank the nation? It's awfully bold. One nation, indivisible. And I like with liberty and justice for all, absolutely. But let me tell you, just because the Pledge of Allegiance says indivisible does not mean that the mind of God for eternity believes that America needs is indivisible.
It's even counter to basic contract law. Nothing is indivisible.
There you go. Yeah.
Even if you don't want to take the God part of it, it's not common sense. Everything's divisible.
Everything's divisible. There's even scriptural mandate for something as strong as the marriage bond.
Exactly.
You know, it says, you know, except it be for fornication or marital uncleanness or adultery or some of these issues, the marital bond is very strong. We not play with it. Obviously, divorce is way too light in America today, and you'd agree with that, I know, Dutch. But we cannot say that every marriage is indivisible.
Right.
And see, and if the bond of marriage is even much stronger than a nation, so then we need to understand that there is a time and a place for biblical separation, even within a nation. All right? So now we go to the second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And we talked about that. That is not the French égalité, where, you know, the fraternity and of the brotherhood and that sort of thing. There is an inequality in the creation. Some men are more intelligent than other men.
Right.
Some women are more intelligent. Some have better educations than others. Some are born with Down syndrome. Nothing against it. I have a niece with Down syndrome. There's nothing to get wrong with that. But we are not equal in the sense that we all are. Well, let me put it this way. The equality that they're talking about here is equality before the bar of justice.
Right.
All men are created equal. We all should have the same justice under the law. We shouldn't, because a rich man should not get favored by a judge, or a poor man should not be looked down upon by a judge and a jury because he's poor.
But not everybody deserves a mansion and free health care.
There you go.
And all that garbage.
That's the
égalité
of the French Revolution that is very dangerous. So he says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Notice it's unalienable rights here. If you look that up, it means they're not transferable. You can't be alienated from your rights. Even if you're in the innermost prison, or you're like Alexander Solzhenitsyn in the gulag, you still have a God-given right to life and liberty. And if you have an opportunity to escape the gulag, feel free to do so.
Right.
Matter of fact, we just saw a movie about these men. It's a modern movie, just came out, about seven people that left the Russian gulag. If you haven't seen it,
no.
I think it's called The Way Back.
Wow, I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, The Way Back, and it's at the local video store. And it's the true story of a couple of three guys who actually made it. I think they walked like 4,000 miles to freedom from the Russian gulags. So in other words, they had an unalienable right to life and liberty, and they chose to head out through the snow of Siberia and make the long trek. And I like the fact that one of the statements in, and I don't necessarily recommend the movie, but the one of Sir William Wallace. What's the movie with Sir William?
Braveheart.
Braveheart, okay, yeah. I don't necessarily, because it's got some trash in there and it's not historically accurate. But one thing that grabbed me when I saw Braveheart, because it was recommended for me to watch it, was one of the old men there, he's dying on the battlefield, and his son's trying to administer aid to him. And the dad says, son, don't worry about it, I'm dying. But I'm dying free, and it means everything to me to die a free man.
Right.
You know. So, man, our freedom. I appreciate our freedom very much. All right. So we from our Creator, that's God Almighty, we have certain unalienable rights. Governments can't take them from us. If they try, they need to be stopped. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are good things here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we've only got an hour today, because other people talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But mainly it is to live our lives under God, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and raise our families, and we should be able to have in a time of peace to do so, and pursue the job that God's called us to do, the job that we want to do. Now he says to secure these rights, this is your Romans 13, folks, that the government is created to secure our rights. Governments are instituted among men. I'm not going to point out every time that there's a biblical allusion to a biblical passage here, but the Declaration is full of allusions to biblical passages. We've already passed up on some of them already. When we were looking at laws of nature and of nature's God, we could go to Romans chapter 1 for that. So there's a lot of biblical thought here put into the Declaration of Independence. So that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, It is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and institute a new government. See, governments are destructive of freedom. We have to be so careful. George Washington said, you know, that government is power, and it's like a fire. It's a fearful taskmaster. It's got to be, you know, government has its place. It's God ordained. And by the way, we should say right here very clearly, Dutch, as you know, that we are very much, because we are anti, the tyranny of today does not mean that we're anti-government.
No.
We believe that government is holy, that government is civil government. Now we're talking about, because there's four major forms of government, self, family, church, and civil government. We're talking about civil government today, and a tyrannical form of civil government. But civil government, folks, is not a lesser of evils, or it's not a necessary evil. It is holy. It's mm-hmm. right. Wicked men have perverted civil government, as we see them doing today at the local, county, state, and federal levels. All right? So that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of the ends of freedom, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government. Boy, I wish they would teach that in the government education schools of today. I wish they'd even teach that in the churches of today. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish a bad government and institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Now, notice here that the Declaration leaves room for the form of government that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
I like a Republican form of government, but they're not saying a Republican form of government is necessarily God-ordained, the only form of government. A monarchical form of government can be good mm-hmm. if the monarch is godly and has
benevolent.
A servant's heart and benevolent.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is the way with church government. Some people get so bent out of shape with church government that, you know, they, oh, it's got to be this way, or it can't be any way at all. No, no. John Calvin, his commentary on 1 Corinthians 11 is very clear. He's in his belief, and I agree with John Calvin here, that God has left open the form of government for the church as it best fits the needs of a local congregation.
Sure.
Because a local congregation may only have two families or three families
right.
that are meeting regularly, and so how are they going to have a plurality of elders in there? It's kind of, you know, the thought is...
Well, even if you go back to the Old Testament, the preferred form of government was judges.
Judges, and
everybody demanded kings, and they're like, you don't want kings. You know, you want judges. Judges is the best way to go. But, of course, we don't
practice that. Yeah, right. That's a good illustration, all right? So he's talking about that we can abolish government. The Declaration goes on to say, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And I agree with that totally, and I know you do too, Dutch. Because we realize there needs to be changes in America, does not mean that we're calling for an overthrow, because we understand that we've had a long-standing government. It's a good government. It's just wicked men have got in.
Right.
I'll never forget when Ross Perot was running for office back in 1992.
Yeah.
He made a very ludicrous, stupid statement. He said, the people in America that are in office are good people. It's the form of government that we have that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
And he had it totally 180 degrees off. And I'll never forget when he made that statement. We've got good people in office. We need to change the government, the form of government. And I believe it's totally opposite. I like a Republican form of government. I mean, California is known as California Republic.
Yeah.
I wish to have a Republican form of government, not a democracy, because we know a democracy is a mobocracy.
Yeah.
All right? So he says, don't change governments. In other words, we get mad because somebody's in office, or we get mad because somebody did something we don't like, the federal government. That doesn't mean we need to overthrow government.
Right.
All right? So we'll move on. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms which they are accustomed.
Wow.
And we, you know, Dutch, we see this every day, every month, every year. You try to get people excited about making change in government, try to, you know, get people to link up with us. You know, we're the only, really the only show in probably a couple of counties. I don't mean that to be boastful at the church of Cahuilla, but it's true.
I've been to a lot of churches in this area.
And other people tell us they've been to other churches, they're looking. And, you know, we just get a handful of people that want to support us because people are more disposed to suffer the evils while they're sufferable.
Yeah, and go along to get along.
Go along to get along. They don't want to rock the boat. And so it's amazing that it's that way, but it was that way at the time of the founding of this country even.
Yeah.
All right? And he says, and to right themselves by abolishing the forms which they are accustomed. Nobody wants to really go and put their neck out on the line. But thank God the signers of the Declaration of Independence were willing to put their neck on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend John Witherspoon, after the at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, they were some of them were halting whether to sign this document because they know scary times. If they sign this document, King George, if he can catch him, he's going to put their neck in a noose.
Yeah.
And John Witherspoon, the one minister that was there, ordained minister, said, "There's a tide in the affairs of men." He says, "We perceive it now before us. To hesitate to sign this document is to consent to our slavery." And that's what put the delegates over to sign, because he said, "Now is the time to strike, guys. If you're on the fence, if you're wishy-washy, forget it. Now is the time." But he says, "But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government." There you go, folks. I love that. It's our right, it's our duty to throw off a government who's put us under absolute despotism and who is looking to enslave us, and to provide new guards for our future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their systems of government. Now notice that such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies. You've seen, Dutch, in the years that you've been here, you've seen the church at Cahuilla appeal to the civil magistrate for redress of grievance.
Sure.
We have a paper trail, if you would. We have a historical record of saying...
We have a file this thing.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Okay, you saw the file
yeah.
of saying, look, we have redress agreements. We don't want to make war with you. We just want to have justice. We want to have fairness. We want to have equity. And so many Christians, they just want... Sometimes they'll just get mad and say, get rid of them all. Throw the bums out. Well, what kind of a trail do you have of... You know, and I know some good Christians that they write their congressmen, they write their senators, and they have a trail of appeal to try and right the wrongs that have been perpetrated against them.
Do it civilly.
Yeah, and do it civilly. He says, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations." We're reading from the Declaration of Independence, if you just joined us, and trying to make application for today. "All having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." So now we've just passed the first part of the Declaration of Independence, that is the assertion of the just cause. Now we're moving into the despotic acts which has caused the king the right to forfeit the obedience of his followers. All right, so "to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." Now, this is the king, but we're going to make application. You let me know when it's time to close.
Four minutes,
okay. Now, folks, I want you to understand, they're making application to the king, King George, and his tyranny, but we would now make application for local government, county government, state, and federal government, and we'll see that they are warring against Americans and Christian America in particular. Number one, King George has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Haven't we been fighting a battle for the pro-life movement since 1973? Christians have been waging a courageous battle. And the fact is, the majority in America, doesn't make it right, but the majority in America want to have a pro-life country.
Right.
But the government refuses, in many cases, especially the federal government, refuses to honor that. And thank God we live in a county that does not allow abortions.
Right.
You know, Tulare
yeah.
County here in California. That's a good thing. But he has refused to assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for public good. Once again, this is your Romans 13:4. Government is to reward those that do good, folks, and punish those that do evil. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them.
Yeah.
You know, it's so difficult to get righteous laws passed today. There's a stonewalling of Congress. There's a stonewalling of committees. And, we just see that happening in our day today. He has refused to pass laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those peoples would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. This is a form of government that uses blackmail and extortion to get what they want. I was sharing with the church the other night, Dutch, you recall, that when my dad... Now, this is, folks, this is before we unincorporated the church, before we have the current status and law that we have. We wanted to put an extra foyer on the church, so my dad went down to get a special use permit. And the county said, "Well, Pastor Campbell, in these things we like to give and take. Yeah, we'd be willing to give you a special use permit, but you need to give X amount of feet off the front of your church property for road expansion. And Dad said, "Well, look, there's we don't have that much property to give for road expansion." They said, "You're not going to get the a permit to build your foyer right. unless you do." And then they said, "And by the way, you're also not going to get a permit to build this little 15 by 15 foyer, whatever it is, unless you put in a many thousand gallon water tank for the fire department." And of course, my dad was very upset this time. He says, "What's this give and take? It's all take from you guys."
Right.
And so he signed the permit under protest, saying, "This is tyranny." And he wrote his name. I'm signing this, giving you, permission to take some property from the front of my, my church, the church property. But that was before we had status. So what was happening? What's happening here is there's a, he says here, this blackmail and extortion, that the people, they refuse to pass laws or give you breaks unless you relinquish a certain right that you have. And, of course, the USA Patriot Act, I did not like it, and still don't like it, is because we gave up rights that we should never have given up, folks. Remember, the USA Patriot Act came under a Republican administration, not a Democratic administration, and it is an abomination to liberty-loving people.
Right. Here's a good point to take a break here, folks. You're listening to Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. We're going through, he's going through the Declaration of Independence and making applications for today. And I hope you continue to listen in the next half hour. We'll be right back. You're listening to Stronghold Radio and Liberty Tree Radio and all other outlets that carry the voice coming to you from Central California, Cahuilla, California. We'll be right back after the break.
Does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out dutchjones.info. That's www.dutchjones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.dutchjones.info.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, just keep on the fight and line.
And we're back. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. It's Thursday, and it's time to rejoin Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. His examination, delving into the Declaration of Independence.
All right, folks, we're making the application here, trying to make some application and looking at the Declaration of Independence. And we're in the long list of despotic acts which King George commenced in Parliament against the colonists. And we're making application that we don't live under a monarchy today, but we find in our local, county, state, and federal governments various acts of tyranny that are being committed against the American
people
today.
Not much has changed, has it?
So not much has changed, right. So we're now at the where it says, he has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them. Notice now, folks, the purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. In the book of Daniel, it talks about the evil one wearing down the people of God. You can be worn down. How has this happened in America today? Well, we used to have two courthouses within a half-hour distance from us. Mm-hmm. And if we had a problem, we would go to the Wood Lake Courthouse, or we could go to the Exeter Courthouse. Those courthouses have been shut down, and now we have to go all the way into Visalia. They're centralizing the power. Mm-hmm. And in the Wood Lake Courthouse, it's where you could have really gotten a jury of your peers. People don't understand. I'm getting off the point now, but
no.
Peerage has to do with those people that know you. Yeah. Those that, if you're a carpenter and there's a problem, you would want other carpenters on your jury because they understand the decision that you made when you used a 2x6 rather than a 2x8 or whatever the case may be. That's a jury of peers. Now, in today, they've done 180. And if you know anything about the person, you can't serve as a juror.
Right.
They've totally reversed.
Flip-flopped it.
Yeah, they've totally flip-flopped the protection of the situation of the right of trial by jury. So what they've done, folks, is they're doing wear-down tactics on the people of God, on American citizens, by taking away and making it further and further for us to access our public records and for us to go to trials. I've had to go to Fresno, a long ways away, when I backed up other Christians or with different kinds of venues. It says he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people, just arbitrarily closing down places where we could get redress of grievance, mm-hmm. and that's what he did, and that's what's happening today. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. The people in the border towns have experienced this. We're going to get into that in just a few minutes, so I'll let that go. But that's part of what's going on here. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for the purpose of obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation of lands. It's actually, we have an opposite situation happening today. While the king was restricting the immigration and people getting their status, today it's open-ended, and the government has allowed the floodgates of illegal immigration to come in, and it's actually doing a 180, but both of them are destructive.
Yeah.
It was destructive at the time of King George, and our current immigration laws are destructive of freedom-loving citizens today. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. And what have we done today? The judiciary has actually become a tyrant in itself, and the legislature refuses to rein in the judiciary. Over and over again, the legislature is supposed to be, the three were to act as checks and balances. But we have a runaway judiciary, and the legislature refuses. It's just tragic to see what's happened, folks. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount of payment of their salaries. That is going on today, folks. If you have a problem with a ticket from the California Highway Patrol or the police department, and you go to court, it's a rigged court. It is not a judge who is impartial. You're going to go before a commissioner who makes his judges because he's dependent upon the salary of finding you guilty. Now, notice what it says here. He's made the judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount of payment of their salaries.
Right.
A commissioner in a case in a DMV court makes his money from the fines that he excretes from you, or it gets from you, takes from you. And so I've been in these courts, and no justice. People go in there thinking they're going to get justice because they're going to present their case where the CHP officer has lied, and I've seen them with their blackboard and their pictures showing how
building their case,
and the guy says, guilty anyway, because it's a rigged court. It's a kangaroo court.
The judges
court.
Work on commission, basically.
The judges basically, in a sense, yeah.
And you even look at the federal judge system. Anytime a federal district judge goes against the federal government, he's gone.
He's gone.
They get rid of him.
Yeah, exactly.
And they replace him.
So they're not seeking a justice. It's a. If you go to tax court, you have a tax judge there. You don't have an impartial judge. You have a judge who works for the Internal Revenue Service.
Right.
So you're not going to get a fair trial.
Yeah.
He has erected a multitude of new offices. Folk, when you think of a multitude of new offices, think of the czars that Obama has instituted. Think of George Bush and the Department of Homeland Security. We didn't need the Department of Homeland Security. It's just a tyranny put upon us. What about the Department of Defense and the FBI and the CIA that's
they
supposed to be taking care of it?
Yeah,
they all have their
yeah.
jobs. We don't need a replicated... this comes under both... See, folks, you need to understand, this comes under both Republican and Democratic administrations. He has erected a multitude of new officers and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and to eat out their substance. Congressman George Hansen, back in the 80s, wrote a book, To Harass Our People. It was an expose of the Internal Revenue Service. He was arrested because he exposed the corruption of the Internal Revenue Service. He did not get justice in a court. It was a kangaroo court. And so he spent the next several years undergoing diesel therapy.
Yeah.
If you don't know what diesel therapy is, folks, it's where they put you in a bus, like a Greyhound bus. And Congressman Hansen spent many days in a bus that was just idling in front of the jail or in front of the compound, wherever it was.
Wherever.
Yeah,
they
penitentiary. Thank you.
Lot.
They just moved him around in a bus and idled for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, inhaling all that diesel therapy. Because any of you know, if you've ever ridden a Greyhound, when it idles, you want to get it going right away. You want to get going because of that. And so he has physical problems to this day because they actually tortured Congressman George Hansen because he wrote a book to harass our people, exposing the injustice of the Internal Revenue System. And why does all this happen? To eat out our substance. Folks, they're robbing us blind in America today with all these agencies. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislature. Well, one thing we have not had is we don't have military officers being forced in our homes, and I thank the Lord for that. But there are a lot of foreign officers training in America, and I don't think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, we haven't seen quartering acts yet.
Yeah.
But they're making us pay for all of this still. They're this standing army at a huge cost.
Yeah, at a huge cost. He has affected to render the military independent and superior to the civil power.
Oh yeah.
This is the preparations for martial law, folks.
Yeah.
This is a military that won't abide by the Constitution. Yeah. They're beyond the reach of the Constitution now in many of their minds. They've been indoctrinated. The soldiers have been indoctrinated that way.
Well, we saw it in Katrina. They sent in
the
federal airborne units, and the local police had no authority to tell them where to go or what to do.
And they disarmed good law-abiding citizens.
Killed. They did whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, so we're seeing that, folks. Now you can see why, how much the Declaration of Independence is very much relevant for us today. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and acknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation.
Wow.
Whenever you hear discussion about a world court and that our Supreme Court is making decisions based upon world court decisions or UN dictates or mandates, that is a foreign
Sharia
jurisdiction.
Law now.
Yeah, perfect. Good Dutch. Sharia law coming into America, that's a foreign jurisdiction. We need to oust and not have give it any time, any quarter, Sharia law in America. It's a foreign jurisdiction. It does not go with our biblically based law systems. For quartering large bodies of troops, armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. I brought up to the church the example of Lon Horiuchi, the man who murdered Vicki Weaver in her home in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, back around 1991 when she was holding a baby in her arms. That man only got a slap on the wrist, and then they found him back at Waco killing citizens again. The man is sick. And he just got a mock trial and a mock punishment. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, involved meddling. The king was meddling in trade. We want, and the president and the federal government meddles in our trade today.
We should have free trade.
A fair trade. for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Folks were being taxed in all kinds of ways that people don't even aren't aware of, hidden taxes. For depriving us in many cases of benefits by jury. And we just talked about that. We're deprived of a true jury of our peers.
Right.
So it's very difficult to get justice.
Well, and then under the Patriot Act, they can hold you indefinitely without a speedy trial. Right.
Right. The writ of habeas corpus is denied to the
you don't
people
get to
today.
You see your accusers anymore. They're all done in darkness.
Yeah. For transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretended offenses. I put here the tax court. Putting us in courts that we cannot get justice or fairness.
And also rendition now, they took an American citizen, took him to The Hague and tried him for war crimes during World War II.
Oh,
and he was
yes.
just found guilty. They are rendering American citizens to foreign courts.
Yeah, you're talking about Demjanjuk.
Yes.
John Demjanjuk, yeah. And Congressman Traficant lost his seat.
Because he stood up.
Because he stood up against the Jewish lobby and the Zionists.
Right.
Yeah. No matter what Glenn Beck says, if anybody's been listening to Glenn Beck lately, he's got it wrong concerning Zionism, folks. You'd be careful with him. Be very careful in listening to him. All right, that's all I'll say there because we're looking at the declaration here.
Yeah.
For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. This is part and part your Sharia law that you were talking about, Dutch, coming in. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally our forms of government.
Yes.
How are they doing that? The media does that every day when they keep talking about democracy and a democratic form of government. That's not the form of government that we were initiated, that we have. We have a Republican form. So you see how they alter it? Only Pat Buchanan was one of the only leaders back in the 90s that would say Republican form of government.
All the spokesholes for, like Sean Hannity today, kept saying democracy, democracy,
did
democracy.
He? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, see. And that's not what we want. We want a Republican form of government. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with the power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. We're going to begin to see that more and more, usurpations.
Eminent domains, things like that.
Yeah. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. Folks, this is actually happening. If you live in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, or Southern California, the federal government has abdicated and declared you out of their protection and allowed illegal immigrants, these lawbreakers, to pillage and plunder American citizens.
Yeah.
And they can't. And then if they try to defend themselves, they are they face a very difficult time. They're put on trial. They're put on trial. And then I think of the two officers, you know, that were
Ramos and Campion.
Thank you for helping me. Ramos and Campion, who shot that drug dealer, and now they're the ones whose lives are, you know, because the federal government is doing it, absolutely that, folks. It's time to wake up, America. Wake up, Church of God. Wake up, pastors. Wake up, Christians. Band together and fight the tyranny that's coming down our way. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, destroyed the lives of our people. And we find the UN and various forms of the federal government coming into towns and just literally taking over.
I love this, ravaged our coasts. Look what they did with the Gulf Coast. Just destroyed the industry and the livelihoods of all the people on the Gulf Coast.
Exactly, Dutch. Right now, they're not allowing any drilling.
Yeah,
that's that they're ravaging.
Logging
in
the Pacific Northwest, they've destroyed.
They
fishing,
absolutely.
Farming here with the water rules that they now have.
They're destroying they're taking away our livelihood. It's amazing, isn't it? He is at this time, and the people just yawn and say, "Oh, everything's okay," and you know, the evils are sufferable. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun. Folks, we have large armies training in America today. Foreign mercenaries are training in America today, and they will do barbarous acts, totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. Our federal government is doing this to us. He has constrained our fellow citizens, taking captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. You've got guys like Charles Rangel that are always wanting to bring back the draft, you know, and then force our young men to fire on innocent people.
Well, and I brought it up last night. They create such a harsh economy that the inner city youth have no option but to join the military these days. That's the majority of who's in our military, the people that can't find work.
That's an excellent point. When I was in Russia 4 or 5 years ago, the young men in Russia, they have no economic opportunity whatsoever. Therefore, they join the military just to survive, just to get a meal, just to, you know, not be a burden to their parents. And that's what's going on in America today. More and more people are joining. I've been watching articles in the newspaper just recently of the graduates. What future do they have for an economic survival? They don't. They're going into the military. Yeah. Very, very interesting. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. This is what is going on with MS-13. This is what is going on with unbridled immigration.
Right.
These people have no... They take the heads off women and children, just like the savages did back in, 1776, folks. Some things don't change. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humblest terms. Folks, remember, we talked about that earlier. If you're a patriot out there, do you have a record of redress, petitioning for redress? Our petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people.
Clear and simple.
Folks, if you love freedom, you understand where we're at today. Nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of the attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. It's all about jurisdiction, folks. Who has jurisdiction? We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice of magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of common kindred to disavow these usurpations, saying, look, we're your relatives, guys, we're your kindred, don't be doing this to us. They too have been deaf to the voice of justice and consanguinity. Consanguinity is the bloodlines, natural feelings for your relatives. I remember about 15 years ago, they took the military, and I forget what the act was, but they were asking them, would you fire upon American citizens? And so many at that time said, we would not. So they realized the military that they'd have to go through a process of indoctrination and change it around so that the people would. And break down, in other words, natural feelings. Why wouldn't they fire on American citizens? Because these are my uncles, this is my family. I'm an American. These are my people by blood.
Kin.
Yeah, these are my kin. Exactly. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. Yeah. Now this is the trail. This is the... long list of despotic acts. This is part two of the Declaration. Now we're going to move into part three, which is the appeal to God for aid and the declaration of being independent from King George, but also being dependent upon Almighty God. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, Congress assembled, here it is, folks, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. I love this, because what they're saying is, here's our intentions. Yes, we King George is actually broken from us. He's broken the covenant, but he's forced us into a state of war. And they're saying, let the whole world understand that as we go to war, we're doing it coram deo, we're doing it before the face of God, and we're appealing to him. This is not a military coup done in secret in the middle of the night. We are saying to the whole world, God, judge us for the rectitude of our intentions. May they be righteous. May they be worthy. May they be holy. And we do in the name and authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, this is the Lee Amendment that was put in there, free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. This is that separation. This is secession. This is why our brothers and sisters in 1861, they saw that we seceded from King George because he had begun to be a tyrannical and arbitrary use of power in an improper way. And so our forebears separated, formed a new nation, the Confederate States of America, and they were not allowed to exist. They were warred upon. It's funny how many Christians today and many Americans that are not Christians, you know, they cry for the right for Belarus up in Russia to be, an autonomous state, and Macedonia to be an autonomous country or whatever, and all these various
Croatia
countries, Croatia, there you go, all these things, but they'll deny the South to be an autonomous country,
right.
And Lincoln warred on the South and brought it back under.
Tyranny.
It broke under tyranny, like Steve Wilkins, Reverend Steve Wilkins says they just simply extended the plantation after the South's defeat. Now we're all slaves. And that is free and independent states, they have full power to levy war. Now note the terms that they're using here. Free and independent states. Our founding fathers here are not using the term sovereign states.
Yeah.
Sovereignty was added later on because sovereignty was only reserved for God Almighty. Yeah. Only He is sovereign. Now, we use the term about a sovereign state, and I'll probably slip and do that, but really we should be saying free and independent states and reserving sovereignty to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's a point that needs to be brought out. I believe if you study R.J. Rush Jr., I believe he brings that out, that originally the founders did not use sovereignty in regards to states. They need to be free and independent, able to levy war and so forth. And as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do.
I love it, independent.
Independent states, yeah. And for the support of this declaration, and here is this act of appealing to God for aid with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Look up divine providence, folks. That's God and His acts in behalf of man, when He acts directly on behalf of mankind. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. To those who will take the time to study its words and ponder its message, it becomes clear that the Declaration of Independence is not just a declaration of independence from Great Britain, but it's a declaration of dependence on the Lord God. And that Jesus Christ, folks, that we would appeal to Him, and that our understanding of what we do, that He's the one that will cause us to triumph if we depend on Him. Now let's talk about the results, folks, of the Declaration of Independence in the few minutes that we have left. The results. Number one, it put an end to the difficult task of fighting against the king while claiming loyalty to him. That's where we are today. We are loyal citizens of America, but we find ourselves at odds with the federal government. Mm-hmm. We find ourselves at odds with the civil government. We find ourselves at odds with the county government and local government. But we pledge our loyalty. We are citizens of the state of California. And we find ourselves fighting against that while claiming loyalty to it.
Yeah.
So it got rid of that. Number two, the fence straddlers now were forced to make a choice of allegiance. And I look for the day, Dutch, I look forward to the day when the fence straddlers, we have people that come around, you know, the church at Cahuilla and at our conferences, they talk about patriotism, but where are they in terms of keeping ministries like ours afloat and alive through financial help? They hang around the church at Cahuilla, then we begin, we call for days of training, you know, and we do activities, and then they run from us like scalded dogs. Now we're getting too militant.
Yeah.
So, but they like the concept. Some like the fact of, they like to be called a patriot.
They like
that
the
term.
Literature and wearing the gown.
They like the trappings of it, but when it gets right down to it, to put your money where your mouth is, they're just fence straddlers. And there will come a time when they'll be forced to really make a decision. So after the Declaration of Independence, the fence straddlers now were forced to make a choice. Either you're going to be a Tory and fight the side of Great Britain, or you're going to be on the side of the patriots.
Right.
And so that day will come, friend. It offered France and Spain the opportunity to get involved to defeat their old rival. And of course, France came in a few years later, but they did come in, and they were key in helping America.
Sure, the blockade.
The blockade, yeah. So, and then number four, it put real esprit de corps in the American army by giving it an ultimate cause worth fighting for. Now there was the United States of America,
defined
the colonies,
goal.
Defined goal. This is who we are. This is what we're fighting for. And folks, if we don't know, George Santayana said it best, those that fail to understand history are bound to repeat it. If we don't understand who we are, and we don't have the esprit de corps, if you're not developing esprit de corps with other brothers and sisters of Christianity and patriotism, you will not understand, and you will you don't have enough to fight in the day of calamity.
Right.
You don't have what it takes. We need esprit de corps put back in all our churches about what it is exactly that we are doing. It's an ultimate cause worth fighting for. I'd like to give Dutch a couple of quotes here while we still have a few moments. concerning you know, the Declaration of Independence and what some of our founding fathers said. Let's look at what John Quincy Adams said a number of years after the Declaration of Independence. He said, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this: it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. That's what we opened up with. That with de Tocqueville, we combine the notions of Christianity, of liberty, so intimately in our minds, we can't conceive of the one without the other.
Right.
John Quincy Adams went on to say on July 4th, 1837, why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior?
Sure is.
Folks, we have we've had a free nation, a nation of liberty, because it was birthed in Christian liberty. John Adams, on July 1, 1776, profoundly spoke at the Continental Congress to the delegates from the 13 colonies, and he said this: before God, notice Coram Deo, before God I believe the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it, the measure of separation. All that I have, and all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready here to stake upon it. Folks, all that you have, all that you are, and all that you hope in this life, are you ready to stake that for freedom in America once again? He says, and I leave off as I began, that I live or die, survive or perish, I am for the Declaration. Folks, it makes cost to stand for Jesus Christ. It costs something. It costs to stand for the freedom in America, for liberty in America once again. He said, John Adams said, it is my living sentiment, and by the blessing of God, it shall be my dying sentiment. Independence now, and independence forever.
And here we stand. Here we stand now, 200 and some odd years later, and we've still got the same issues that were foisted upon our fathers, forefathers.
Same issues. Let me give you one more quote, Dutch. Samuel Adams, now after they signed the document and people were standing around, they were wondering, they were pondering the import of the weight of what they had just done, and they realized now that their lives weren't worth a plug nickel, so to speak, because King George was going to come after them and have their head because they signed this Declaration of Independence. But Samuel Adams, he brought them together, and he said, folks, this is what we've done. We have this day restored the sovereign, Jesus Christ alone, to whom all men...